Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks. Troy Dooley here with Radio for Your Mind. And I tell you, this is a bittersweet day because this is the final chapter of integrity, the courage to meet the demands of reality. And I'm torn. I'm literally torn on what to do next. I have two phenomenal books. One, The Five Most Important Questions You Will Ever Ask About Your Organization. This book was originally written by Peter Drucker years ago. This remake, this awesome tool, has Peter Drucker, Jim Collins, Phil Coulter, James Coos. I mean, all these guys I love, Judith Rodin. You know, I'm torn. It's from the Leader to Leader Institute. And then I have Ellie Kay's new book. I love this. It's the 60-minute workout, the 60-minute money workout, an easy step-by-step guide to getting your financial future in shape. And, I mean, some of the chapters, listen to this. This would be a longer study for us. The first one's 5 days. This one's 2 weeks. You know, the 60-minute financial freedom, the 60-minute debt workout. I love her final chapters in this. The 60-minute couples workout, the passion for a home-based business. I mean, it's I'm torn. So you're going to have to watch, kind of see what it is we're going to be doing. I will end up by tomorrow deciding which one of these we're going to do. And I tell you, listen to these five questions. If we decide this, and maybe you guys can help, send me an email, troy@troydooley.com. That's troy@troydooley, remember, Dooley.com. And help me out here. If we do the five most important questions you'll ever ask about your organization, here's the questions. What is your mission? Who is our customer? What does the customer value? What are our results? And what is our plan? I mean, this book right here is a phenomenal book. You know, or we have the 60-minute money workout, the warm-up prep for your money workout, the strength training, set financial goals, the cardio burn, put goals into action, the heartbeat, measure your financial performance, and the cool down, reward yourself. You guys decide on this one. I'm going to give you until this afternoon, okay? I know that we've got live listeners today that are listening to me right now. We've got the call-in people that are here. We have the people that are listening on the internet. So send me an email, troy@troydooley.com, and tell me, let's do Ellie Kay's book or let's do Peter Drucker's book. Whichever one, guys. I mean, this is it. Either way, we're going to do the books. It's just a matter of which one we're going to do first. I'm going to tell you that because I am so stoked about what it is that we have. But we're in the final chapter, and I got to do a special shout-out. My personal mentor. We have been connecting off and on, gosh, now for over a year. Not quite a year, I guess. And that's Mr. Tom Hopp. Guys, listen to me a second. Tom got married to a very beautiful, beautiful woman. And you got to understand that when you're looking at integrity, and understand that we're looking at integrity from the strength, from being the integrated personality, making sure our character is strong. When him and Melissa decided, hey, we're going to get married, I was stoked in this because she brings integrity to that partnership. He brings integrity to that partnership. Their mission. Now, remember, if you've watched or listened to anything we've done on Dr. Henry Cloud's book, Integrity, you understand that when you have the integrity of your relationship, kind of like a bridge. I mean, we've all heard about bridges collapse. They didn't have good integrity in their structure. When you have that integrity in your structure, and two integrated personalities, totally separate, become one, the magnitude of what they're able to accomplish is amazing. Melissa's passion is on empowering women. Tom's passion is empowering the universe. I mean, anybody he can get his hands on. And I personally can tell you that it has affected my life. It's affected how I interact with my wife, how I interact with my children, how I interact with people that literally are more mixed up than I am. I mean, I told you guys yesterday about an email I'd received from a lady that basically told me I was unethical, I was not honest. I mean, she just went down the list of everything that I really do try to strive to be. And I wrote her back an email after the show, and I said, I thank you for sharing your heart with me. I understand. I fully realize that email is not the way that we're going to be able to handle this. And I look forward to a live conversation with you and your business partners. I thought that would end the conversation. Today I wake up to another scathing email about how bad I am. And I thought, wow, you know, had I not, and we're going to get into Dr. Cloud's final chapter, but it's small, so listen to me. Had I not read and become friends with and have Tom personally say, let me help mentor you. When I received her last two emails, I would have gone into not just a resentment mode, but I would have retaliated in a very huge way. I'm married to an author. When it comes to crafting words, I can do a pretty good job at that. But what happened was Tom's tutelage, his being open and honest and saying, you're an idiot sometimes, and working me in, allowed me to look at her email this time and realize, this is a no-win situation. This is somebody that truly is, in a lot of ways I don't understand, probably more mixed up than I am, and I'm a basket case. So I just wrote back, I fully understand, thank you, and that was it. No resentment, no anxiety, no retaliation, nothing. You know, it's just you let it go. This is what happens if you will take time, and you can go to TomHopp.com. That's H-A-U-P-T, TomHopp.com. His book, Time Out, is phenomenal. You need this book. Okay, it will change your life. If you let it change your life, it will do that. I mean, that's what I did. And I make this statement with everybody. Okay, when you look at Tom's book, and it's Tom Hopp, Winning Strategies for Playing a Bigger Game in Life. But listen to me on this one. I personally, if you get the book, if you go through each and every chapter in the book, if you will do the work in the book, because it's a workbook. It's not this, oh, let's sit back, drink coffee, eat bonbons, and just be an enjoyable read. This is going to make you grow if you do it right. If you do it right, and at the end of the book, you're able to say, this book sucks. I didn't get anything out of this book. Troy Dooley lied to me. He just like the email. He's unethical. He's unhonest. He just wanted to sell his friend's books. If that's how you feel after going through and doing everything Tom says to do in the book, you send me back the book personally. I'm going to go through each chapter and see if you did everything you're supposed to do. If you did, and you honestly say it sucks, I will pay you back the $25 and some odd cents for the book. I will keep your book. I will use it. Because that's how strongly I believe and Mr. Tom Hopp. Now, Tom didn't ask me. He doesn't pay me. He doesn't do anything like that. It's just, I knew he was on the show. And this is my way of saying thank you to Tom. Because it changed my life in the last year. I honestly believe, had I not taken time to read his book and reach out to him and ask him some really deep questions, I probably wouldn't be in the position that I am today. This is why I picked Dr. Henry Cloud, is because over the years, Dr. Cloud and Dr. Townsend's work has helped me. The Five Love Languages, beautiful book. Boundaries, another great book. And when they started moving into more of leadership in a new light, because they're psychiatrists and psychologists, so when they go in there and they work with CEOs and then they put it in print, I'm able to learn from the greatest minds. Some people go out and they get doctorate degrees and they go to college. I made a choice at 18 years old, actually 17, to join the Marines and protect our freedom. So I have been on a quest ever since then to make sure that I have the wisdom, not the knowledge. I don't care about the degrees. I want the wisdom. So why do I buy books? Why do I go to conferences? Why do I strive? And it's because I want to surround myself with people that are smarter than I am. That's why this book is phenomenal. You know, today we're in this last chapter, Where Did It Go? You know, we've been through this whole book on integrity, learning what it takes to have an integrated character. Trust through connection. Trust through extending favor. Trust through vulnerability. In touch with reality. What people in touch look like. Finishing well. Eating problems for breakfast. Getting better all the time. When you're smaller, you're bigger. And today, we finish up with Where Did It Go? Dr. Cloud starts this chapter off like this. So what do you do? I asked the guy assigned to my foursome in the charity golf tournament. He said, I'm an HR consultant, and I work with people in leadership who run large companies. What about you? I looked at him and said, I do the same too, but a little bit more on the personal side than the usual leadership content. I'm a psychologist, so I work with a lot of leaders in their individual development. You know, the issues that get in the way kind of thing. Oh, gosh, he said, it amazes me sometimes how really talented people in leadership are not very prepared on the personal side. Matter of fact, it's incredible. I just had a situation where a CEO had to fire someone who headed up a whole entire continent in a multinational electronics company. He asked me to coach him in how to do it well. He thought it was going to be a difficult situation and wanted some help. So I flew out to meet him, and we went over all the issues. I told him what to say. I explained how to do it in a professional manner. I really prepared him well. So what happened, Dr. Cloud asked. Well, I was about to leave, and he asked me if I'd go with a drive for him on his trip to meet this guy, so before he talked to him, we could have some more time to go over it. I thought it was a little overkill, but I said, hey, that's what I'm here to do, is help, no problem. He goes, we drove for about 2 hours to get to where he needed to go. And he goes, as we walked, prepared to walk into the room, I thanked him for his time and told him I'd be waiting for him afterwards, and my thoughts would be with him. And he said, well, wait a minute, I got a better idea. Why don't you just go in there and fire him for me? Now think about that. Here's the CEO of a multinational corporation needing to let go somebody in charge of a whole continent, and he could not do it himself. You get to the point, I mean, think about this. You're a CEO. You're not just the CEO of your own home-based business. You're the CEO of a gigantic multinational corporation, and you cannot terminate somebody. Now, that's some flaws in your character, without a doubt. It's a tough one. It's something that you've got to look at. Where did it go? What is the problem? See, I think as we've gone through this book, if you guys have taken the time to go buy the book, you've been able to get a whole lot more out of it than the 30 minutes you spend with me. But if you take the time to study it, what's going to happen is you're going to understand why you still have some gaps in your character that you've got to work on. See, there's no such thing as a fully integrated person. And using Tom and Melissa at the top of the hour, it kind of shows you that. See, Tom is integrated in a lot of ways, but he's still going to have some weaknesses. Melissa is integrated in her own way, but she's going to have some weaknesses. But when you put the two of them together, they have less weaknesses. Still have weaknesses, but they have less weaknesses. So you've got to constantly be working on your character, the integrity, to make sure that you're going to be able to handle everything that comes along. One thing that I have learned about everything is I've gone through these books and I've studied and I've written myself notes in my journal, is that you have to learn to accept yourself where you are today, but realize where it is that you're going to go tomorrow. See, one of the things, and I'll share this with you, is probably one of my most frustrating Valentines on Monday that I've ever had. I went out here and I thought, I'm going to find the greatest card I could. And I mean, they have great cards out there. They got cards that are sexy. They got cards that are romantic. They've got cards that are professional. I was finding one for my wife. Now, it was easy to find some for my daughter. But none of the cards this year fit for my wife. So I found a pretty generic card that was blank that I could write in. And I said, you know, I couldn't find a card, honey, that would fit, because I know I've fallen short in four of my vows to you as a husband. And the reason that I know I have is not because I'm out there having affairs or anything like that, but because I'd taken some study with my pastor. We did a 4-week series, and when I'd come home and I'd ask Paige some questions, I found out that the integrity in our relationship wasn't what I wanted it to be. So I wrote that to her, and I said, I'm sorry, and I'm going to work on that. So I didn't want to give you some stupid card that just wouldn't work. And it was fun because she realizes that I'm working on our marriage, that I'm working on our relationship. One of the things that she told me this week is, I really hate your new job. Now, she didn't say it in those words, but I knew what she meant. I said, okay, because I'm traveling? No. Because we used to drive every morning down the beach, and now there's days when we miss it for days at a time. And then when you come home off of a trip, we still don't do it. And I thought, okay, I got it. That's one of those vows. See, the first vow was next to Christ. Now, understand, this is my life, not yours, but next to Christ, are you my top priority? And she said, no, I think your work is. Well, I couldn't give her a card that says you're my everything when I know that in her heart she didn't feel that way. But now by taking drives, I came in for my morning men's breakfast, accountability breakfast, and I told her, hey, as soon as the radio show's over, we're going for a drive. Be a short drive, I know, but we're going for a drive. Plain and simple. See, I want to do that. One of the other vows that I'd ask her about, I said, honey, do you feel like I'm always pursuing you? I'm always wanting to be, and she said, no. I said, well, can you hesitate a little bit and think about it? You know, I mean, it's one of those things. Well, guess what? As I was reading through Dr. Cloud's book, as I was looking at Valentine's on Monday, all of a sudden I still found weaknesses that I had to go after. See, if you know where you're at today, but you know where you're going, you accept where you're at today, but you know what your passion is, you will honestly be able to look at it and say, I got to fix that. This email that I received from this lady that's one of our consultants that's not happy. I could have gotten all bent out of shape over it. It hurt. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm emotional just like everybody else, but I did not attack her. I looked at it because one thing that I've learned from all of our reading and especially from Tom is the fact that in everything written and everything said, there's usually an ounce of truth in it if we will take the time to study that, take the time to analyze it, take the time to see. See, I know from tracking these emails from the very beginning, somewhere along the line, I came on a little bit too strong, or maybe the company came on a little bit too strong. Whatever the case is, we fell short in adding value to this woman's life. Because of that, we've lost a friend, somebody that may have been a powerful ally to us and now isn't. And that's sad. The third thing that you've got to do, and Dr. Cloud talks about it, but I also learned this from Tom, is that you've got to know what to do next to resolve those integrity issues, to make your character stronger. See, that's what works. See, we all have to look in the mirror and say we're not perfect. Last night I took Jetty out and we went out because he wanted me to buy him the movie Fantastic Four and X-Men because he's into the Avengers with Marvel Comics. I bought him a Bible that was created. It's an action Bible from a Marvel Comics creator, and he really loves this stuff. And as I was watching Fantastic Four with him, I thought, man, all these people, this is just like Dr. Cloud talks about, because when you look at the four people, the torch, the invisible woman, the Ben, the big rock, you know, and then you look at Mr. Stretch, you realize that individually they don't have a lot of integrity. You've got the big old rock. He can't put a ring on his finger. He can't love his wife the way he wants to, or girlfriend, whatever she is. You look at the torch. Every time he gets around a woman, he becomes on fire. You know, you look at the invisible woman, and none of them individually work, but together they were a unit. And I thought, man, this is kind of cool. I can use this as an analogy, and I did with Jetty, my seven-year-old. See, if we look at ourselves in the mirror, we start to realize we will always have some issues. We're not going to walk on water. We're not going to be perfect. But if we constantly are growing, then we set a course in life that can is second to none. Because here's what's happening. If you take January 1 and you go through this next 12 months in 2011 and you make it your year, then by the time December 31st rolls around, you're going to see where you have grown as a person, as a leader. You're going to grow in every role in your life as a husband, as a father, as a business girl or a businessman, whatever it is you're doing. At the same time, as you're growing, as you surround yourself with people that have gone before you, that are better than you are, you're going to turn around and do the same thing. Somebody's going to come along as a protege. Somebody's going to come along and say, I need your guidance. And all of a sudden, you grow, they grow. They grow and find somebody else to grow. And all of a sudden, you have created a legacy that will go beyond. I have another mentor of mine, and I can't share who it is right now. But in the next couple of weeks, I'll make a public announcement of what's going to happen. But basically, after doing some due diligence and studying, he realized that all of his work wasn't really being focused on by a new generation of business leaders, of spiritual leaders. And in a nutshell, he's kind of coming out of a semi-retirement, taking back control of a great organization, bringing his team together. And we're going to push forward to bring his stuff back to a new generation of leaders, the millennials out there that really need some rock-solid coaching. I'm excited about this. And I'm going to share it as it becomes public. This is what we have to do as men and women of integrity. If we don't want to lose it, if we don't want to know where it went, then we've got to constantly be focusing on where we're going and what we're doing. See, what got us to where we're at today is not going to take us to where we need to go tomorrow. It's kind of funny. In the position that I have, it's just a crazy position. And I'm going to share this with you because I think you'll start to see where I'm going. I can make my plans. I can sit down in my leadership calls and I can have people say, okay, Troy, what's on your agenda this week? And I can say, well, here's what I got planned. But that doesn't mean that's what I'm going to get accomplished. See, in this case, like this week, I had planned in my sphere of influence in my business, I was going to call on some tech shops. So one of my partners said, well, Troy, I'd like to get you on the phone with one of our new guys, or not new guys, but one of the guys in the office that's going to go and work around the Austin area. I said, okay, that would probably work, except that I can't schedule that time because the guys that I'm talking to are also network marketers or direct sellers. So I'm going to be talking to them different than what you would be talking to a regular tech shop. Well, guess what? I've not got to talk to any tech shops yet. The reason I haven't, this is great, is because my phone has been ringing by CEOs of other companies that are saying, Troy, 2010 was great for us, but 2011 is not what we thought it should be. We'd like to know if there's a way we can team up with your company. Maybe there's a way we can salvage some of the relationships with our distributors. Maybe we can take and do some things. So even though I'd looked at little individual tech shops, what's ended up happening is because of my focus, because of the past, what we have done, because of the integrity in focus and knowing where you're going, I've been able to build some influence with some people that are saying, we know you love distributors. Is there some way that we can team up with our companies and make something happen? I've had this happen 3 times this week. It's taken a lot of energy, a lot of effort. I'm excited about it. We've got one. I'm working up an agreement right now with one organization. Sometimes you will make the plans, but you will get diverted into something bigger if you have that integrity in your character. I'll share with you again my buddy Tom. I'm just going to use Tom as examples. That's what happens when you're my friend. I'll use you as an example. I remember our last live conversation. 2 things came of it. One was his excitement as he was leaving to go to Australia to do some training and to marry his beautiful bride. And we've been working, collaborating on a book that just isn't going the way we wanted it to. I didn't feel confident with it. I think it was getting too cumbersome, and it was getting away from his core focus of what his passion is, and I want this book for direct selling to stay right on topic. So I was a little flustered internally with that, but one of the things he had said to me is, look, I got this idea that Melissa gave me, and I just think it'll be great, and you need to do this, and I expect you to be working on it, which I have been. But as he left, I could tell there was a little bit of a of a discontent. And there was something that was going on inside, not with his relationship or anything like that. This is what happens when you start to see leaders start to grow a little bit. So I didn't know what it was, but the last few months of the year, we didn't get to talk much. He's over in a whole different time area and all that good stuff. But I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, man, just keep him focused. Every time I'd see something that he was doing or he'd reach out, oh, man, this is great. I pray for Melissa. The other day, I was chatting with him. And he's burst out of this discontentment. And all of a sudden, he's out there and he's saying, Troy, I am going to take this to a new level. I'm going to take Tom Hop International, and we are going to help more people than we've ever done in the past. This is what my plan is. This is what my goal is. And you could hear the excitement in his voice as all of a sudden he was starting to push forward in his mission, in his purpose in life. And I'm reading through Dr. Cloud's book at this time, and I'm thinking, man, this is exactly what Dr. Cloud's talking about. When you get that discontentment of knowing that you're just a little bit off kilter in the integrity of the character and what you're supposed to be doing in life, and you start to focus a little heavier in it, you take those calculated risks, and you take it to that next level. That's what Tom has done. That's what each of us have to do. Now, we're no Tom Hop. You know, we don't have this crazy, wild, beautiful streak in us that we're going to go out there and speak in front of thousands and tens of thousands of people crying out loud, I've got a face for radio. Jim Gilhouse tells me that. But the fun thing is, each one of us has somebody and something in life that we were created to accomplish. And if we start small, we'll grow big. If we just go out today and reach one person and we change one little part of our character that builds more integrity, if we just restart to reshape. See, even though our first 18 years kind of sets us on our path, I'm a firm believer that if we focus on where we're at, we can change where we're going. Without a shadow of a doubt, we are humans. We make mistakes. We'll get better in certain areas. We'll move forward. We'll surround ourselves with teams. We'll see our character be reshaped. I was sitting at breakfast this morning, and somebody looked over at me and said, Troy, do you ever wear shirts with collars on them? I said, Oxford shirts, yeah. I said, matter of fact, when I go out and speak, I wear Oxfords all the time. And they said, do you own a tie? And I said, nope. They said, well, what do you do when you're on stage? I said, well, I have my Oxford on, and usually my shirt tails out, and sometimes I'll have a jacket on, sometimes I won't, and I'm usually wearing flip-flops or I'm wearing Tom's shoes. Sometimes I'll go shoeless. I said, that's just me. Well, what happens if you go to a black tie affair? Well, I just don't wear a black tie, so I guess I don't go to many. We sat there for a minute, and this one guy goes, I just can't picture you in a tie. I said, let me share with you what a tie represents to me. You'll understand where I'm coming from. I said, it's not that I don't trust people that have ties on. I said, but there was a time in my life my ego really did have the best of me. When all my clothes were custom made, and most of them had the tag Christian Dior on them, from my socks, to my underwear, to my T-shirts, to my outer clothes. My ties were all custom made, and I thought I was right there by Jesus Christ. But so when I moved, when I got out of that, when I started getting my own character refocused on what was most important to me, and that was my wife and my family and my God, I said, I did away with all the custom stuff. I did away with the tie. I did away with everything that represented to me in an outward focus my ego inside. It was like I had a Napoleon effect. I said, so I don't go to many funerals where I got to wear a tie. I hardly ever show up to a wedding where I wear a tie. And I never go to affairs where they expect me to dress and look like everybody else. Now, I got a long ways to go, folks, before my integrity inside of my character is going to be flawless. Tom calls me a diamond in the rough. I might be dead before it's all fixed, but when it is, I'll know I've made it to one other level. So give me your feedback, Troy at troydooley.com. Do we start the next series, the five most important questions you'll ever ask your organization, or do we go with the 60-minute money workout? Live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind to find out exactly what our next book will be. Bye now.